Lord. Wonderful. Lord, we're so grateful for you, for all that you are. Everything about our lives, we want to be centered around you. We want you to fill everything, fill all in all, because wherever you are is life in all its fullness. And so we invite you, Lord, to fill our hearts and minds with your thoughts, your ways, that we might learn of you this morning, that we might be humble and teachable, willing to just bow to your superior ways, that we might find the path of life that grows brighter to the full day. I just thank you, Lord, that in everything you're good, everything you say is good. And we honor your word, exalt it above our thinking and feeling, and just thank you that we have your word to bring us light and life. Your word carries life to us. It's powerful, living, active. And we want to listen with fresh ears this morning. Pray old ears would leave, stale, but we'd have a fresh hearing this morning from you, our good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's good to worship with you. And even though England lost, I'm still rejoicing, because my joy isn't found in a football team. It's found in a person called Jesus Christ. well, they won last night, but let's not boast. both the rugby and the football. Enough. Right. Okay. This morning, I'd like to share a word that probably everybody in this room has read before, knows about, and is partially doing. But I believe that it is going to come to us in a fresh way as a word from God that will be a powerful, life-changing word. And it's on the subject of what the word says, what God says about our thankful lives, to live thankful, to give thanks in all circumstances. And most of you will know the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, which says, rejoice always, in everything pray without ceasing. And then this verse says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And this is easy to quote and remember, but not so easy to do. It's something that requires a learning and a choice to continue to be thankful. There is a power in thanksgiving. There's a release of God in thanksgiving. And there are all kinds of benefits for us in being thankful. And we're going to look at a little bit this morning on how being thankful affects our relationships with God first and each other. Because the Christian life isn't just this way, but it's together. It's amongst people. And I've heard a lot of people say, I can get on really well with God, but it's others I struggle with. But actually, that is no understanding of the Christian life. The Christian life is about God and people. It forever will be that we are part of his body. If we're Christians, we become part of the body of Christ. Each one of us a member of it. And one of the most important things we can learn is to be thankful for one another in family life. Our homes, our clothes. I know I go to the closet and say, "What? I have nothing to wear." And we look at things and we say, "Oh, it's too hot." But in everything, we are to give thanks. And this is never meaning to give thanks for evil. That is not part of what we understand Thanksgiving is about. We're never to give thanks for the awful things that people do, the treatment, the wrong treatment of people. But in it, we are to give thanks. Even if things are happening that is going really wrong in our lives, we are to give thanks in all circumstances. I want to say something here, and I'm going to play a little bit naughty. Can I say that if you really want to be miserable and you really want to go downhill and you really want your life to end up in a bad place, all you have to do is be unthankful, to be ungrateful, to find fault. That's all you've got to do. Find something you don't like, moan and complain about it, and make sure you end up really unhappy and miserable because of it. And, you know, the world around us and the end times, the word tells us that the world will be an unthankful place. Before Jesus comes back, the world is unthankful. How many of you noticed? No, just me? People are unthankful. But the Church of Jesus Christ, or the culture of a Christian, is to be thankful in everything. And that must be quite a test at times, and it has been for me. To give thanks when I don't feel like it, when things are going horribly wrong, I need to start to thank God. Now, this fan currently is something I'm glad is here, but is off. And when the switch is off, when I'm not giving thanks, the fan doesn't work. So if you could use it as an illustration, as soon as I start, flick the switch of gratitude and start giving thanks, oh my goodness, it powers up the blessing. This is meaningless. It's just an item. The Christian life, I believe, is to be powered by thanksgiving. And this has got five settings. It doesn't just have number one. I can go to number two. I can go to number three, four, and the max. I wonder what maxing out thanksgiving would be like. Can you imagine if somebody said about you, "You are the most thankful person I have ever met"? And I believe that thanksgiving would release so much grace and goodness, health into your life, that you would not be able to stop thanking God. Because the more you thank him, the more blessing follows you. Thankfulness creates kind of like a moment for you to receive from God and even to receive from one another. I don't know if you've ever been really, truly, genuinely thankful for someone who's paid a price for you to be blessed. Thankful for parents that helped you. Thankful for brothers and sisters in Christ who lay down their lives so that you can follow Jesus better, know him. Giving thanks, teaching our kids to be thankful means in their future they won't fail. They won't fail in their relationship with God, and nor will they fail in their relational life. Did you know money is not the goal of the Christian life? Relationships are. The primary goal of a life is relational. You can have all the money in the world but end up alone and miserable. Broken. Because money doesn't fix things. Jesus and people do. Oh, yes. So thankfulness can be switched up. And I believe God is saying, I want you to flick the switch of gratitude. I want you to keep going, keep being thankful, but maybe just think about being more thankful than you currently are. Or if it's on the off button, start to give thanks in everything. Because this is the will of God for you right now, no matter what's going on in your life. Good things or not so good things. I believe that thankfulness creates a delight that you can quickly lose when you're unthankful. You can get used to good things and stop being thankful for them. We visited the Loos on the way up to the top floor this morning, and we were thanking God for the gift of this building. We just were like, Lord, this is amazing. The chair I sit on, somebody paid for it. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that we can meet. I'm thankful for the servants in the house. I'm thankful. Hang on a minute. Just let me share one thing with you. A little builder's team that changes nappies. I don't know if you've got a stomach for that. But they've got that stomach. They're serving you while you hear the word. I'm thankful for everybody who prayed for me. Thank you. I'm so blessed. It changes everything about your mood. You won't have so many mood swings. And if you start to find fault in your marriage partner or your kids, very soon, it won't take long, you will lose relationship. You will be distant from them because thanksgiving draws people to you. I've never seen anyone run away from a thankful person. Have you? I never want to leave if somebody's thanking me. I'm like, hey, this is good. I feel good. But if I lay down my life and there is no thanks, I know what it does to me, and so do you. And I know what it does when we stop appreciating, or we have a low level appreciation of God, our salvation, and people. We can forget. You know, the chefs, they have a comment or something they use to illustrate a problem when they're kind of making up new menus, creating new palettes. And they call it the jaded palette. And it's a real thing where people can come to your restaurant for the first time and they go, oh my God. Goodness, I've never tasted anything so amazing in all my life. But a year later, they come and taste the very same thing, but it's become ordinary. It's become boring. It's called jaded. It's become what's next. And I believe we can do that in our relationship with the Lord, that he saved me is enough for me to continually say, he forgave me my sins. Wow. Hang on a minute. I'm not going to hell. Anybody want to say thank you? He saved me from destruction. Wow. Am I ever going to get over that? No. Because in heaven, we're going to say thank you forever because of what he did. to save and rescue our lives. But we can get jaded palates in our relationship with the Lord. And with one another, marriages can get jaded. And everything goes downhill when you stop being thankful for who God gave you. Now, the problem is we can compare what we've got with what somebody else has got and start to lose the thankfulness because we're always looking at what's next. That's where advertising works, isn't it? You need this new phone. You really need this new phone. Do you need a new phone? No. But they tell you you need a new phone. What is it appealing to you? I'm getting dissatisfied. I'm a bit jaded with the phone I have. In fact, I have a kind of an older iPhone. And somebody was looking at it the other day and they went, "Is that all you've got?" I said, "Yeah, this is what I've got. It's great. It works. I don't need the new phone." And I'm not saying don't have it. But I'm thankful for what I have. And did you know it is a strategy of Satan to appeal to you about what you don't have? He did it in the Garden of Eden. He came to Eve. Everything in the garden was perfect, by the way. Adam and Eve, God had provided and made everything available for them. And then there was this one tree, he said, "Don't eat the fruit of that tree. If you do, you'll die." So, when Satan's working in this perfect Garden of Eden, where everything is good, where she is totally satisfied, and so's Adam, what does Satan get Eve to focus on? What's his goal? By the way, he works 24/7, day and night, to make you dissatisfied with what you have. And unthankful, because it leads to an unthankfulness. So what does he do? Eve, you just need to have a look at that tree. Isn't it a shame you can't eat that? Wouldn't you like it? Isn't it appealing? And actually, if Eve had turned away from that and looked at the garden, she'd have gone. But because she shifted her gaze to what she didn't have and shouldn't have, God said don't, because there are some God says don't. It's not enough for me. I need that. If that comes into your heart, your life, it can ruin you. If she had turned to fellowship with the Lord, to all the good things, to Adam, I mean, their relationship was perfect. But everything moved into horrible and awful when they ate of that one thing Satan wanted them to focus on. They fell in sin. And for me, it's a lesson. The devil is always trying to get my focus on what God isn't doing and not on what he is doing or has done. Because you're thankful when you look at what Jesus has done and what he is doing. It's a fight for your mind. But thankfulness is the secret to having a jaded heart relationship with the Lord. In not being happy just to be his, just to be saved and everything that he has done for me. And it actually can ruin our relationships with one another. And I really believe in every move of God. It isn't just with God, it's with the body of Christ. I'm thankful for every single one of you. I'm going to say it to this side. Are you thankful when you look around the room? What about the one you live with? What about your kids? I know they need sorting. I know that there is a need to train them up in the way they should go. It's not that there isn't discipline. It's kingdom mindset. It's who God is. He's a loving father. But, be thankful for your children. Go on being thankful. Stay thankful, because there is a power that is released in your thanksgiving. You know, the scriptures tell us in the New Testament, if I have a home and clothes, I'm content. Well, that would be a test, wouldn't it? If that's all we had. And it's this measure of, Father, I'm thankful for where I am, what I have, and what you've done for me. It's not that he doesn't ever want to do anything else. It's just that gratefulness opens my heart to his presence, enter his gates with thanksgiving. It opens the way for me to come before him and also to receive from him. We'll look at Luke 17. Oh, and by the way, just before we move into this, complaining leaves you in a dry desert. Thankfulness enables you to enjoy the garden of the Lord. So stop moaning. Stop complaining. If you have a job, I don't like it. Give thanks you have a job. It's so important that we are a different people. We are salt and light in the world. So we don't join in with the unthankful, but we create a different culture around our lives. And it's actually the culture of the King. Jesus was forever thankful. He was always exhibiting thankfulness. In Luke chapter 17, it's one of my favorites, you know. The story goes that 10 lepers, as Jesus is passing through Samaria and Galilee, he entered a village and 10 lepers were there. And they stood afar off because they couldn't come close. They were ostracized, really. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. So it was, as they went, they were cleansed. Okay, and one of them had been in the meeting that Sunday morning. No, because he'd been healed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. Who to? Jesus. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. He gave God glory for the healing and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And you know what Jesus said to this? He said, well, they're not 10. Do you know he's counting the unthankfulness? Do you not think that's an awesome thing, that Jesus is counting unthankful people in the room? Because he knows. You can't fleece him. He knows exactly what your mood is, whether you're complaining or moaning, or are you giving thanks? And he knows the inner thoughts as well, by the way. He doesn't have to hear you say it. He can hear your heart, just so that you know you can't get away with it. Like when your husband doesn't do what you want him to do. Bless God in the sanctuary. He knows what's going on the inside. He hears it. Were there not 10? Where are the other 9? Now, this Samaritan, right? He's been healed of leprosy. That is an incurable disease. And what does he do? He comes, loud voice, saying, "Glory to God. God alone can heal." He falls at the feet of Jesus. I don't know the last time you did that. Return to say thank you like that. That's a heart of worship and thanks. That is absolutely, I couldn't give you more than what I'm going to give you now. I thank you, you cleaned me. Now, something greater has happened to every Christian than being healed of leprosy. You have been cleansed from sin. It's even more because it's got eternal effect. If you're just healed in your body, you will still go to hell. But because you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he wipes the slate clean, he forgives all your sins, and he gives you his nature. And I just sometimes just need to come back, fall at his feet and say, "Thank you. You cleaned me. If you do nothing else for me, I will worship." Come on, church. We love Jesus and we love the real thing. The reason we're thankful is that he died for my sins. He rose again, but he died for me. I will never, ever, and if you stop being thankful for that, your relationship with God will be distant. You won't love him like you used to. But to get your palate back, sensitive heart, to get the taste back, you start giving thanks, and very soon you will be on fire for Jesus. Aha, if you've lost your first love, change, repent, it says. How? Give thanks that Jesus died for you. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? But you know what? That leper got even more from giving thanks. Jesus said, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." That means a total well-being was released into his life because he came back to say thank you. So there is more given to the thankful. There is no more for the unthankful. And I always want the more, but more than that, I want my heart to be grateful for what I already know that he's done for me. It is the greatest miracle ever that you are saved from your sin. That God loved you so much that he gave his only son. It was love that did it, but it was a sacrifice that saved you. That for which I am eternally grateful. Can I say something here? We count the ones who are unthankful. Just like Jesus. I'm so drawn to people who are thankful. Are you? If I do anything for anybody, whether it's in a supermarket or if they're unthankful, I know it makes me do this a bit. I know Jesus is kind to the unthankful. But in this situation, we see here that there is a release of more into thankful, a thankful person. Just maybe the healing in your marriage will come because you're thankful. Just maybe you'll love the church because you start giving thanks. Because you can get a jaded palate. You can start getting so accustomed to the kind of worship we've had and think it's ordinary. This morning, it's extraordinary that we can encounter God in the Spirit like that together. That is an extraordinary thing, and it's wow. Wow has to come back because you're thankful. Oh, I know you're hot, but I'm hotter. So try not to sleep just while I get this word to you, because I believe it's going to add a lot of goodness and blessing to your life with the Lord and your relationship with one another. I'll tell you just a little short testimony because it really impacted me. We went to a conference, a leaders' conference, a few months ago, and at the end, we were rushing out of London, and we had to go and get grab a quick lunch before we found our transport. And I desperately wanted to thank the guy who'd done the conference, who arranged it. He'd brought in his team, he'd done so much. I just wanted to give thanks to him, but he just kind of disappeared, and we were in a rush. And I was saying to the Lord as we were going to the restaurant, I would have loved to go back like the leper and say, thank you. I receive from God through your life and through your sacrifice. Anyway, he came in with a very famous person, Tim Hughes. He came in to, he's famous in Christian circles. He was in the restaurant. We were sitting there and I went, he's here. And I shot out of my chair. You did as well. And I went, sorry to interrupt. It's you. You put this on. You paid a price for this to happen. I'm just so grateful. And as he says, oh, where are you guys from? You know, American. And asked us what we were doing. And lovely guy disappeared out because he went to sit outside. And as he turned to leave, he looked back and he went, meant so much, guys. You can change somebody's life. You can give them fuel when they're tired. You can say, keep going by saying thank you. You can give them courage. It was worth it. It was worth your sacrifice. He goes out thinking, I don't know. I'm afraid the culture we have today isn't very thankful. And if it creeps into the church, we've had it. I know I'm being blunt, but I need to be. If your family life isn't, you're not thankful. Let me be blunt, it's going to go downhill. Health, the money you have. Oh, well, I need the new kitchen, I need a new cooker, I wish I had what they had. I wish I could do and get that kind of job. I'm thankful. You know, Jesus, you remember the feeding of the 5,000. This lad brought and offered up, he gave an offering really of his lunch, showing the adults what to do. No comment. So he gives this offering and the disciples, what is this? What is this? Jewish? What is this? What is this among so many? Sorry, that was a bad Judy. What is this amongst so many? Jesus said, you give them something to eat. This is not enough. This isn't enough. And we look at our lives, and again, Satan's working hard for this. This isn't enough. But you see, Jesus took them, broke the bread, and he gave thanks. Do you not think there's a brilliant secret here of adjusting your heart to the Lord and to the kingdom provision, of which there is nothing missing, nothing lacking in the kingdom? The unseen realm has everything you need. Thanksgiving makes it manifest. The little you have begins to multiply, and you will have more than enough when you give thanks. The little strength you have, the little love you have, will grow and multiply with thanksgiving. How are we doing? You giving thanks? And be thankful. Be thankful. When Jesus did this, he was thankful not for the little, but thankful to God for the solution. That's a faith thanksgiving. When you give thanks and you don't have enough, what you're doing is adjusting yourself to live by faith. You're positioning your heart to trust God. And if there's anything that pleases God, it's trust. That even in your not enough, he's going to provide. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't he wonderful? Aren't his ways wonderful? Wonderfully simple, but wonderfully powerful. I've heard so many people say, I don't have enough of. I don't have the resources. We don't have this. But what if we shifted it to that faith thanksgiving? Can you imagine what God would do in and through your life? To reach people as well? To multiply what we have so that what we have can go a lot further than just me and my family and the church, into the community. Thanksgiving multiplies so that the kingdom of heaven and provision of God can grow. I often give thanks with a promise in my heart, and it's this one. I recommend it. Sorry, can I go to Romans? Romans 8:28. So when you haven't got enough, when things aren't looking good, and we know that all things will work together for the good. Oh, come on, speak it. Let's say this together, shall we? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? Give thanks in everything. So if I do, all the ingredients, even the bad ones, he's able to make good. He is the master chef of your life. Do you know what a master chef does? Pulls ingredients together. If on their own you tasted them, they would be horrid. And sometimes we go through horrible things on their own. The taste of that thing is bitter. It's awful. But if we give thanks and give it to him in faith, he's the master chef. And this is what comes out. All things come and start to work together for good. But until we do his will, we don't see his work. We don't see his hand shaping, changing, and turning something was bad to good. Oh, isn't he wonderful? Giving thanks is such an important part of the Christian life. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'm just going to finish with this and we're going to move into communion with thanksgiving. We're going to be thankful for the cross of Jesus. And as we take, we're going to really think about his suffering for us. But in Hebrews, it says this, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. So this is speaking of the suffering of Jesus. At the hands of sinners, he was whipped. So much so that Psalms describes it as they ploughed my back with furrows. Right to the bone for me and you. He suffered like that. And I believe we haven't really understood the power of his suffering. If we are in a moment of being weary and discouraged, if we will consider what Jesus did for us, that weariness and discouragement will leave us. And we will be nothing but grateful and re-energized to continue to follow Jesus. He was mocked. They ridiculed him. Your faith, if you're a follower, a true follower of Jesus, you will be mocked. They will ridicule you, and they maybe already do. And if you're tired of standing for Christ in your life, standing for what is righteous, consider him who suffered so much that you and I might have life and life in all its fullness. Sometimes we lose, so we need to keep the cross right in the middle and filling everything that we do. Because he suffered for us. We like to talk here a lot about victory and resurrection, and that's good. But you know, when Jesus rose again, the very first message he had for the disciples who were sad and discouraged on the road to Emmaus, do you know what that message was? He went alongside and he says, why are you so miserable? Why are you so down? Well, haven't you heard? We thought he was a prophet. We thought all our hopes and dreams was going to be in this Jesus. This is the resurrected Jesus asking them questions about what happened to him. And they were left like, so down, so discouraged. So he's drawing alongside. And it says here, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them, because you won't understand the sufferings of Christ without the scriptures. The depth of suffering you won't get just thinking about it. You will need the scriptures to understand what the cross was. Isaiah 53. Psalm 22 is all about the conversation Jesus is having whilst he is being crucified. He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he became sin for us and God turned his back on his only beloved son. And so Jesus doesn't start with the victory over the grave. He starts with the suffering. He's speaking to downcast, desperate people. And he's saying, I want you to know. Most of all, up front, central to everything that the Church of Jesus Christ is to be, how Christ suffered for us. It's not just all about your blessing. It's about what Jesus has done for us. And the cross is the greatest mobilizer of the church. Because if we see that he died, we understand that the love of Christ compels us to serve him and be a witness in the world. If there's no cross in your relationship with him, if you don't suffer for his name's sake, you'll leave when the blessing starts flowing. But when you understand what he did for you, such love. No one can speak about it except the scriptures. No one can understand how much God loves you and me. But the suffering proves the love of God more than any other blessing, that Christ died for our sins. And so he took the scriptures and he says, look, I'm going to go through the Old Testament, Isaiah 53. I'm confident. He said, do you not remember how Isaiah said, he was a root out of dry ground. There was nothing in his appearance that made him stand out from the crowd. He was despised and rejected by men, forsaken by God. He was bruised for our sins and iniquities. He was punished so that I might have peace. Jesus was talking to them, unfolding the scriptures, portraying himself as crucified. This is the resurrected Christ's first message. His message is, look at what I did. And you'll never get discouraged in what you have to go through in life. You'll never give up if you look at what I did and never gave up for you. Jesus never gave up because he saw you in his sights. And we will never give up if we truly understand that love that was willing to die. And so we give thanks for the cross. The greatest thanksgiving that we can give is, thank you, Jesus, that this is what you did for me, that I might be accepted by God. None of us without Christ would have any relationship with God. Ephesians tells us you were without Christ, without God in the world. Can you remember that? Before you became a Christian, I cannot imagine life without Jesus. Remember what you were and give thanks. Remember what he did and give thanks. Haven't we got so much to be thankful for? But most of all, that he was willing to suffer in unimaginable, my words aren't good enough this morning to describe, but the scriptures do. Read Psalm 22, read Isaiah 53, take a front row seat at the cross. That's your front row seat. Christ portrayed before us as crucified, and you will love him, and you will fall at his feet in worship again. Because this is the God who became man and died for us. The cross. And so, beloved, let's be thankful in everything. In lack, let's never get a jaded palate spiritually where my relationship with God bothered me. I want to have a fire burning. You know, when Jesus opened up the scriptures and spoke about the suffering, their hearts began to burn. If you've lost the fire, you'll get it back looking at the cross. In fact, we could all do with a bit of fire. Hello? A bit more fire, please, the Lord's saying. Not lukewarm. I'm going to spit that lot out. Are you on fire? Your solution is to look. Front row seat, Psalm 22. I wept this week. There's a line when I was reading Psalm 22. From the cross, he says, all my bones are out of joint. I've had a dislocated finger before. And I remember the pain. All his bones were out of joint. His tongue, he was sick with all our sicknesses. I mean, how sick did he feel? Every blood disorder, every cancer was laid on him. He took our sicknesses upon himself, and by his wounds, by his suffering, we are healed. The cross is the greatest release of healing, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Praise the Lord for his great and indescribable gift. So as we come to the table that Jesus said to come to remember him, he said, I want you to remember when he took the bread, he gave thanks, didn't he? With thanksgiving, as we take the bread and the wine, remember, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Take in that I was broken for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. Take in the outpouring of the life. The life is in the blood. The life of Jesus, so that we could be cleansed from sin. The cup of covenant in my blood. Do this as you eat and drink in remembrance of me. And I believe that this morning, as we remember him, we are to remember to be thankful for one another. To come back to a place of, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the servants. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for the ministry. Be thankful for your husband, your wife, your children. Be thankful for your boss. They carry things you don't. Always remember, being a leader is different to being someone who isn't leading. Be gracious, be thankful, be kind, because then the blessing and grace will flow like a river through your life. And please don't complain on the inside. Don't be deceived to think that God isn't listening, because he hears it all. Let's give thanks and be truly grateful for Jesus. So as we come together, I'd like us to just come forward. Would you mind coming quickly to the communion table and taking your bread and wine back to your seats? And we're just going to consider him. If you have Isaiah 53 in front of you, you don't have to, just come forward straight away. And take back to your seats the bread and the wine. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're so thankful that you told us as your body, your people, to remember you in this way. We're so thankful for everything you are, everything you've done for us. We remember the miracles, the answered prayer. We're thankful for one another, for who you've given us to walk through life with. We thank you for husbands, wives. We thank you for children. We thank you for friends who are following you. For the whole body of Christ here and in this nation. We're so thankful for past generations who faithfully followed you. We thank you that we have a rich inheritance, even generationally, the things that have been passed on from others. But most of all, we're thankful for the cross, for your suffering for us. And as we meditate and consider you, I thank you, Lord, that weariness will disappear, discouragement will leave, and a new fire will be restored in our hearts. Love for Jesus and a desire to keep going and not give up. Thank you, Lord. So if you would like to sit or stand, or the scriptures are going to just come up on the screen if you want to meditate on what the word says about the cross of Jesus. And remember, it's not just a cross, it's a person on the cross. We're talking about a person, not just a thing that happened. So let's remember him and take the bread and wine in the moments you'd like to.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.